the spirit of God. Let us hear, because I know Daddy has.
What the hell is even that, bro?
Bezzy, was that you?
What?
Bezzy, was that you?
Is that a fart?
What?
What?
Someone farted, I know.
What? What? What was the fart?
I don't know. I don't know.
So now you know. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ransom Pekins.
Bro, I gotta take a piss. If I gotta laugh one more time, it's over for me.
Can you believe Besson actually made this beat?
No.
He actually came up with this beat. Yeah. It's actually fire.
I made it during COVID, like 1 week. I think like 2 weeks into like COVID. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to make this in my sleep. I started making beats and I was like, but now the app that I used to make it is gone. I feel bad. They got bankrupt because people were making so much like fire beats from them and weren't really crediting them whatsoever. So just basically, they couldn't sustain it anymore. It didn't make sense. Like, the app was so clean, no ads whatsoever, and a beat making app with no apps was, oh, that's different. All right, Paul.
Unless they're sponsored by a billionaire, that makes no sense. That, yeah. Literally, why the hell would you make, literally no source of revenue, you just make it and leave it there?
They're doing charity.
Almost like Wikipedia too. It's Wikipedia did something like that. Like,
yeah, no, they're asking for money.
Every week I log into Wikipedia to like get like some schoolwork done. They're like, oh yeah, we know we'll never disturb you. Right? You've been a member since whenever, and we really appreciate you. But can you spare us your coffee money? Give us sponsor us for a week.
Alright, Paul, what's our quote for the week?
Alright, ladies and gentlemen, to this week quotes. We have, I don't know who the author of this quote, but the quote goes like this. Even on our weakest date, we get stronger just by showing off.
Yeah.
Song 2, Art of War.
What?
Nah, that's a lie. Come on. That's a lie. That's a...
Bro, I'll tell you, everyone, like, if you don't know the name, if you don't know the author of it, you can just accredit it to Sun Tzu.
There's a high chance some people have read Sun Tzu, so don't do that.
all right, let's go. What does that mean?
I mean, the code is pretty self-explanatory, all right? Damn, big words. Anyway, so the reason I picked this code, you know, today was like one of those days that I was ready to quit my job. I woke up this morning, I didn't want to clock in. I started work. Bro, everything was annoying, very irritating. And then after I was done work, I was pretty happy because I know the money is coming in. And I just know, just going through that, it just made me mentally strong, even though I didn't want to be there. Mm-hmm. I just got, next time when I'm feeling a little down, I'll know I went through some shitty ass stuff back the last week, so I can probably handle whatever's going to pull up through the work that week. So I picked that.
Yeah, like that one kind of applies to me too. Like, I talk about working out and stuff. Like, every day I wake up, it's a challenge. It's like, am I going to work out today? Am I going to go through this pain? Because like I told you, that guy that we work out with, literally, he has no limits. He has no boundaries, literally. He keeps encouraging you to go up in the weights, like as if he knows you can do it. He's like light work, just go for it, do it.
And he's able to actually do it.
But like whether you do it or not, at the end of the day, when you're done the workout and you're stretching and you kind of end closing it up,
you guys stretch.
I started to encourage them to stretch. They didn't even know what that meant. until I started to encourage them to stretch, because I know that if I don't stretch, all those muscles will become so like stiff, and in the end, it becomes more of a burden for me when I start like track, you know. So like, well, at the end of the day, after all the stretching and everything, it starts to feel like therapeutic. It starts to feel nice and good. It's like, oh man, I really just got that pump in. Like, your muscles are like bulging, everything is vibrating, but you feel strong, and you know that tomorrow you can survive again. Mm-hmm. But tomorrow, as I said, that's in question. Am I going to show up again today? Well, you know, like your quote. That's kind of where your quote comes in. Like your quote of you know, showing up. You know, even when you feel like you can't do it.
But Paul, I have a question for you. Because, like, do you feel like you're financially inclined to show up to work?
Bro, listen. When I told you guys I didn't want to show up today, trust me. Last week, I didn't show up. When the paycheck came in, I didn't clock in.
Oh, wow.
Twice. Ooh. When the paycheck came in, bro, I'm going to cry, man.
He's not
I'm going to cry because you know, it was rough. But now that I actually finished it today, I know next week when I go through this again, because I always do on Monday or Tuesday, we're going to make it through.
Panta is a part of me. Like,
don't go there. Oh. I was begging my homie that's in Africa right now. He came back. I hope he brought Fanta because I was begging that
Fanta.
Guy to bring it.
What about Gala?
No. I saw enemy Gala today.
I know. I saw how he got. I was so excited. I was like, super bites. Oh my God.
Yes. And the thing about it is that the Fanta here is like, the sugar is toned down.
It's not the same.
The flavor is like, it's more sugary than Fanta-y.
It's not because like last time you drank it, you were like 7 or 8. Maybe.
No.
Is that not the reason why Fanta tastes different for you?
No. Mm-mm. There is. See, the quality also, just like suya comes with gutter.
it's heightened now. It's a known fact. If you buy suya at a corporate place, you're wrong. You're not getting it right.
Suya has to be simmered with gutter water.
Yes, the gutter has to be behind the person that is making it or
the
under
smell.
Him.
It's just like certain things that we're used to, but it's a mess for us hygienically to actually think about the fact that you have to, that food will only taste good made in a place that's actually dirty. And to us, it can be fun for us, some people that is like sickness,
these
that is
are
like,
mad.
That's cholera.
Bro, to go and get tomatoes when I was in Nigeria, to go and get tomatoes, I used to have to cross a gutter. Literally, after I would go down the street, and then I have to cross the gutter to go and find the woman that sells the tomatoes on the side there. And then to buy fish, I'll have to cross a canal. Now, hey. A canal is a heightened gutter. This is a gutter that has been raised to the power of 10. No, maybe 40 to 100. Because this canal is so big that they have to build a mini bridge over it.
Oh, boy.
If you look down, you cannot believe it. If you fall into that canal, give your life to Christ. Forget it. If you come out of it, holy water will not wash you. It's not enough. You need more. There's no turtles. The turtles have died. The turtles make.
There was turtles before?
I don't think so. But you know, when you see plastic, you think of turtles. They save the turtles and all that thing. So, you know, the turtles have definitely died. Plastic, it's this. Like, and when it becomes dry season. When it becomes raining season in Nigeria, you know, we have two seasons.
Overflowing. Only two seasons. That's weird.
And the water reaches your knee and you know where the water is coming from. Mm-hmm. You know, when you realize, when you step out of the street and you're. The canal down the street is what is filling up my shoe right now as I'm walking. It brings back some good memories. I want to say something about Nokia too. Mm-hmm. If you have not had Nokia thrown at you or thrown at the wall or dropped down from like a two-story building, you've not understood the rich culture behind a Nokia phone. Has any of you experienced that before?
I had a Nokia, like my last one. Actually, my Nokia is still here. My Nokia is still here. My Nokia is still here. And it's like, it's a staple because one, that thing has fallen off. If it falls off, only the back removes and the battery falls. I just put the whole thing back and put it on again. And that's it.
Blow it.
Stephanie, start again. It's going again, again, and again. It doesn't stop. don't go there.
I threw my phone at my brother once. I've thrown my phone at my brother. I've tried to pass my phone down to my brother when I was upstairs. So we lived in an apartment. So we lived on the first floor and my brother was downstairs. So I had to pass the phone to him and I just kind of dropped it down. He was downstairs from the balcony and he lost it and the phone fell because my aim is terrible. So like I never threw it well, but he just kind of fumbled the phone and it fell down. We thought it was gone, but obviously it won't be. I dropped it in water when I was washing. I was washing before. I was using the flashlights because there was no lights, man. Obviously, NEPA. So I had the flashlight. I had it on the side. I think I had it in my mouth, actually, for some reason while I was...
Yeah, that's normal. Put
my phone in my mouth and I was washing. Next thing, for some reason, my mouth got dry or something. I wanted to drop the phone, but it dropped into the water. The light went off everything, brought it out. The next day, it was night, right? So the next day, thought I'd phone on my work again. After all the blowing and drying, put the phone back in charge
rice.
It.
Put it in rice.
No, we didn't put it. We blew it. I left.
No such thing. We didn't know though back then.
I didn't know the rice.
I knew about rice actually when I was younger.
Really?
I knew about rice because all of my friends dropped his phone inside water and just like put inside rice and like put inside. It's like, well, why would you want to dirty your rice or dirty your dirty phone? Like, that makes no sense to me. Like, you're going to dirty the rice. You're going to make the rice suck up your dirty water from your phone. And then it's like,
I can never eat that rice again.
Yeah, that rice is it's not edible anymore. Are they going to put the rice back and cook it?
I don't know the kind of people that do that. They need to lose something for sure.
I do understand the premise of like putting stuff in rice, but still. And also, have you heard about that trick of like, if your rice is wet, you just put bread in it and just sucks up all the moisture and the rice gets stuck again? Because I don't like soft rice, so I use bread.
Wait, what?
So if your rice is okay, you cook rice and it's too, like, the water is way too much and it's too soft, you just warm it for like maybe a few minutes and put bread on the top of it, like inside, and cover it, and the bread will suck up all the moisture from the rice. That, and then you know, there's like moisture that's be on the pot on the top,
yeah,
and then it pours back into the rice.
Yeah.
That way, the bread takes up all the moisture by itself and just bring out the bread alone, and then the rice is not as soft anymore because I hate soft rice. My rice gotta be like a certain texture of almost like.
Why would you be eating crunchy rice? What's wrong with you?
No, not crunchy rice, like. Rice got a flow in your body.
What you this man's too picky, bro. Cook your rice, man. Cook it the way you're meant to cook rice.
See, listen. If your rice, if you can fold your rice like Gary, that's a problem.
Okay.
If you can fold your rice like for food, that's a problem. That becomes an issue.
Obviously, you should not be able to steer the rice in food. You should not be able to steer.
People cook the rice that bad. Like
yeah.
People do.
I've seen rice that bad that if you pick up that thing and fold it, you can make it look like fufu within 2 minutes.
Hey.
That bad.
No, but what about rice sticking to
that
itself?
That will give you diarrhea.
Is that different,
man.
Right?
God,
that's
damn.
Different, right?
Sticking to itself.
Like when the rice is cooled down. When it's cooled down, obviously, and it starts to stick to around like the pot and around itself.
I hate this. Add salt, bro.
Bro, you got it. You when it's sticking the rice, that's the best part of the rice.
Yes, that's good stuff.
I don't
add salt.
There's one thing I don't understand.
What's wrong with this guy?
I don't understand the premise of bottom pots. Like bottom pot is the worst part of the plate.
Best thing.
Let's not go there, man.
It's the worst part.
Is it different kind of nutrients, taste and flavor?
No,
he doesn't know.
Flavor that comes with the bottom of that pot.
No, there's no
salt cannot explain it.
It's not salt. This is over spiced, bro.
As soon as he said he doesn't like, what were you describing the rice as?
Soft.
Yeah, as soon as he said that, you lost me.
Yeah,
bro.
You lost me.
You won't understand that part. You will not understand that.
No, I'm not going there. What I eat is what I eat. It's hard for me to actually try new food. Like,
that's tough.
Try new food. Like, if I go to a restaurant, I'm most likely gonna order chicken, something with chicken. I love chicken so much. I'm probably gonna buy something chickenish.
No. That's a staple.
If y'all did not know, he's black, so that's why he's getting the chicken.
That's fair. No, you can't go out and not get like chicken of some sort.
I don't know.
One of my friends was cooking. She tried to emulate the jollof rice that I usually cook.
Hey.
I've been cooking since grade 11, so she was cooking. And then she told me to check Snapchat. I opened Snapchat. It was yesterday night. I opened Snapchat. I saw a pool in the pot. And she told me she had been cooking there for almost 5 hours. I could not begin to understand where. I was like, you just need to leave that food. Just leave it. Just leave it where it is. Just let it cook, continue to cook. Because it didn't taste bad according to her and her boyfriend that was there. But like, the food she tried to emulate was not it. So she asked me what was the name. And I told her, I'm not proud to tell you the name because I don't want you to call it that name. She was calling jollof rice. I was like, I can't tell you the name because you can't call that jollof rice. That is more like an off rice. It's just off of the rice. That's what I told her. It's called
off-white, off rice.
She told me, fuck you.
But now she knows, man. You know, they say experience is the best teacher. So hopefully next time she attempts this, it'll be, you know.
With supervision? With very, very enormous supervision by a Nigerian or a Ghanaian or as the roots Senegalese.
Guys, let's not go there.
I want to go there because
I don't want to go there.
Are you saying Senegalese are the people that own
jollof rice? But the Wolof people have something to say about that.
Who are those people?
The Wolof people of Senegal, the people where jollof came from.
Who are those? I don't know. I know jollof came from Nigeria. That's all I can tell you.
Nigerian, y'all claim everything, huh?
Yeah.
You're talking about Nigeria. Everything. What about Congo?
You guys claim Michael Jackson. Relax.
Please. What about Congo? Huh?
Hey, we just be doing our own little thing. We stay low-key with it, bro. But y'all are very vocal with it, bro.
I can't believe that somebody came up and said Michael Jackson is Congolese.
Michael Jackson is Congolese, bro. What? That man had the swagger.
the black shoe or white socks. He had the
swagger, man.
He had the jumper pants with the long ass shoes.
That's a Congolese dress, eh?
I know, like different colors of dress shoes. Like I've never seen a pink dress shoe before, but Congolese man showed me.
Yeah,
a pink colored dress shoe. Like so, this pink, like you know, like a dress shoe like, that has like a sharp mouth.
Dragon,
sharp mouth, and then the color was. I've never like pink suits like fit some people, but like if I wear a pink suit, like come on.
Like, you know, the thing with Congolese man, once a Congolese walk in a room, you'll be able to tell, bro.
It's the vibe.
It's, man.
I feel like some countries just give up that vibe of like, okay, I'm from here. Like in Nigeria, it's like confident and it was like, ah.
Now nah, y'all are very vocal, bro. Yeah.
Nigerians, when they're around other Africans, like to rep themselves.
Hell no. They like to see it. They
like you to know.
They'll be the first person to tell you I'm Nigerian.
Yes.
I do that sometimes. Like,
me too. I would not want to be confused with Ghanaian. That would not happen. God forbid.
Wait, so you want us to choose to solve Nigeria's problems?
I mean, as much as I don't want to, I will take it.
You take Nigeria.
I will take the problems over calling me. If you mistakenly call me a Ghanaian, we're done. What do you mean? Our conversation did not start.
I said, with a Ghanaian passport now, you can go to the UAE with no visa. You can go to Dubai without visa. Nigeria to apply for visa.
I'll take my Nigeria. Leave it like that. Give it to me. I'll take all the problems that come with it.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what we call the Nigerian pride.
Which can also be mistaken for blindness.
Yes, yeah, some little bit of myopia, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of blindness where you can't see what's wrong with your country.
Yes.
And you still call yourself Giants of Africa.
Yeah, I want to understand the meaning behind that word, Giants of Africa. Like, is it because we're the most populated for being a very small size mass?
No, we're just talking too loud, that's all.
Oh, because we're the loudest.
Yeah, that's all, yeah.
We speak the loudest. Ah.
Yeah, we just...
I keep saying y'all very vocal,
we
man.
Have giant mouths.
Y'all gotta be like us Congolese, man. We stay low-key with it, but like...
You guys are just when absurd. When we're there, you guys you are just...
No, no just... you guys are just if absurd, if you want to find the Congolese, just put in some Abilio Lokomba.
Put what?
Just put on some Lugumba music, and you see them come up. No, you see them. No. These are the ones that where your moves, your hips move in symmetry.
Ah,
those ones. And when you play those music, when they come out, you're like,
Congolese have the best.
Congolese.
They have the best dancers. Is that what you're
trying to say? That's Congolese. That's Ivorian. That's Nigerian. Oh my God, my brother.
You know something I used to think about. Yeah. I think it's very stupid, but like if you look at the the African flag, just the map. Like Congo is like right in the middle. It's literally like the hips, the belt of Africa. So you know that's why we move our hips. Now look at South Africa. All the dance, you know what I'm saying? All the what was that Zanka? Was it Zanku that came from South Africa or Guara? One of those two. It's a lot of legwork.
All I know is I'm butter.
I know Nigeria does that too. And then you look Ethiopia or Eritrea, they do the shoulder moves. You know what I'm saying? Like the shoulder of Africa. You know what I'm saying? That's my little myth.
So the Moroccans and the Algerians use their head.
I don't know. Moroccans and Egyptians, they just bop, head bop.
If you think about it, it makes sense. We just gotta sit with it and just think it through. You know what I'm saying?
We didn't even get to introduce ourselves even. Like who's talking and who is talking?
Tell. My name is Beston. That's all.
Where did you go to primary school? you want me to interview you?
Say it.
I'll help you.
I went to a school called Clitter House. Not glitter, clitter.
Clitter.
That word is not in the English language. I don't know why we're called Clitter House, but it's called Clitter House Infant and Junior School, CHIGS. Clitter House Infant and Junior School. Not the primary secondary school, Infant and Junior School.
Infant and junior school.
So we have like nurseries, infants, infant one, infant two, and they have juniors, which is the what you call grade one, grade two, grade three.
Which it's is
called
the primary school, basically.
Yeah, primary school is infant. Nursery and
you
primary
guys
school.
Refuse to call it.
Yeah, we had.
What's the reason why?
We had the director that just wanted to be some sort of. Follow the British curriculum way too much. Like, so I think they forced cursive on us. Like the first cursive on us in grade four. So I had like I graduated in grade six. So I had 2 years of learning cursive, and I was writing a different way. So all that 2 years, I'm trying to learn a new way of writing, which my writing forever is messed up.
Wow.
My right hand writing is messed up.
Why did you not stick with cursive?
Because I went to another school and
in Africa.
Yeah. I went to a government school, and that school, they can't really read cursive. Like, there's no point in actually writing. Like, nobody reads cursive in Nigeria. Let's be fair.
Yes, I feel like primary school is the only place where they actually do like handwriting.
Nobody really cares about it.
Handwriting was a course I had to get like 10 out of 10 on.
Handwriting, dictation.
I just think they do like that same thing in like first grade. You gotta know how to write
in Canada.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure they do that too. Yeah.
No, like, of course you have to do it. Dictation and diction was the one I hated so much. Like, that class was
dictation
annoying.
Isn't that like spelling?
Yeah.
No, but the one where we had to learn, when we had to learn like all those vowel sounds, like the
A-E-I-E-O.
No, not that. I'm thinking about like the one that they had, like the phonetics of the writing.
What?
You guys understand what I'm talking about?
Nah.
Let me see if I can find a picture of this.
What do you mean by a phonetic of writing? Okay, let's go ahead. Phonetics of writing. Okay, I went to Clitter House Infant and Junior School, and then I went to Frederick Government College, Port Harcourt. I grew up in PH City. If you know where that is, how far? How you day? Who that you know? And go to my boy Miracle over here. Where'd you go to kindergarten?
let me think. Bro, I went to like five schools in my entire like school year.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, let me think about where I started.
All right, while you're thinking, Paul, what is one thing that you hate doing?
One thing that I hate doing?
Yeah.
Damn, that's a very good question. To be honest, like, y'all know how I am, bro.
In primary school or now in general?
Anyways, like I was saying, I don't know if I have one thing that I honestly hate doing. Y'all know how I be moving. I'm a type of guy that just, I like to enjoy my time, myself, you know, I be going like, I can't really think of something that I really hate doing.
Wow.
Actually, to be honest, that's a cap. I really hate running long distance.
Oh, that is a class that I fuck with.
If you have to make me run more than 200 meters, sorry.
I like that.
You're on your own.
More than 200? Come on, I've run
it's mental. It's mental, bro.
Bro, last time I ran a 200 meter there. Was in grade 12 and I almost cried. Last 50 meter was something else.
Don't go there with like mental. It's not mental.
It's all physical, bro.
If your mentality is strong and physical, you cannot handle it. How far?
No, you still run it. You may not run a great time, Miracle, but you still run it.
You're a long distance runner.
I am not a long distance runner by any means.
My guy. You run longer as to me. This is how I qualify you. If you're a long distance runner, if you run more than 200 meter, in my book,
bro,
you're long distance.
The reason why I run more than 200 meters is because my mind is strong enough for me to run.
Hey, so my mind is soft.
It's not because my body lets me, bro. My mind lets me work my body to run it. Like my body is giving up after 200, but I would continue to run because like I know that it's a finish line I have to get to.
My guy just called us mentally weak, bro.
It's rough, man.
I know. I heard that too.
Get strong.
I heard that too. But the keyboard, you gotta show up, eh?
True.
You have to show up.
That's fair.
Now, that's something I'm not showing up. Are you trying to get me run at 300, 400 meter?
But showing up alone was like half the job, actually. Because I remember even like starting things, like showing up is half the job. Showing up to certain places, showing up to a job is half the work. Like just clocking in alone. It's like half the work.
See, once you've clocked in, you know you don't have a choice.
Yeah, you gotta finish.
But to finish the work and clock out.
Yeah.
You can say your computer's broken, right? You can break something. You always have a choice if you really want it to happen.
Bro, you're talking about online, bro. What if you're not online? What if you're in person?
Break something at work, though. Literally, I don't know. But y'all didn't hear this. Yeah, you don't see Paul tell you to do this. Don't do it. I said don't do it. But if you must.
If you must.
You must. I didn't say this, okay? But if you must, you can do it.
Hey, I remember. I remember now. I remember where I went to. It was called Holy Hill.
Hey,
Holy Hill. I think it was. Was it Holy Hill Private School? Whatever. I don't remember what it was called, but it was called Holy Hill. I remember that.
That sounds like a school where you get some holy ass whooping.
That's why I went to kindergarten. I think I did a couple years there before I transferred to Achimota International. Another one.
Sounds fancy.
Our headmaster was a Ghanaian.
Head.
He was called a headmaster.
Once you call it a headmaster, it changes the whole situation. It changes the whole conversation. Once you call it a headmaster, the conversation is changed. Because there's principal and there's headmasters.
Yes, there's a difference. And there's a difference between principal, headmaster, and proprietor.
Oh, proprietors.
See, proprietors, you don't want to fuck with the proprietor.
Proprietors think they're people that think they are gods.
Best thing, I don't understand the amount of entitlement that comes with being a proprietor.
Like, just the title alone just makes them feel like untouchable and stuff.
Like, the difference between headmaster, the difference in power between a headmaster, principal is just there, honestly. Yeah, principal doesn't do shit. Like, usually, principal has someone even ahead of them. Because when the last school I went to before I left Nigeria was a government school. Well, it was not a government, it was a private school. Run almost like a government school.
So they are poor.
So yes, they were super poor.
They were broke.
They were broke. And yeah, and we had a principal, but we had a proprietor. And the proprietor thought he was God. he thought he was God's hand on earth.
It's just the power dynamic of what like, people get into a level.
Imagine that the man will show up to assembly. Yeah, we'll still discuss what assembly is. But the man will show up to assembly and will just give us, like, you give the entire, like, everybody from, like, GS1 to SS3. We'll give all of us assignments. Take home assignments.
Hey.
Like, who are you?
Like,
who? Like, it's just what? The amount of power that people gain from, like, just getting a small level of recognition or a small level of title. Just a small title and people, like, misuse it. Like,
just because he owns... He's not an academic. He's not an academia by any means. He's not an academic teacher. Just because he owns the school.
Hey, no. That is exactly what's going on there. It's like, people who feel like they have the money.
And
just
then,
like,
and then the next week you show up and start flogging. You show up with Kane. He's ready to flog the entire school for not coming up with answers to his ridiculous questions. Like, one of them are just questions about life, like that you have to like go and research and come back with an answer and write an essay for him.
That like, one is mad.
You'd be like, something is definitely wrong with this man. Like, he has nothing to do, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the kind of person that should be in retirement. But this is his retirement. His retirement was building a school. And so he would touch on his children.
But you have to actually applaud him for building something, though.
I guess you can look at it that way.
You can applaud him. But whether the gross misuse of gross misuse and abuse of power can also be talked about. But still, you have to applaud. But to start things is hard. Like, to start something, that is like something I'm like,
we're going to talk about how you started this podcast.
We're going to talk about that?
Hey, yo. You guys before we go there, I still haven't talked where I'm from, man.
Oh, okay. Where are you from?
I haven't
where
talked
you,
about
where
my
you
school.
From? Where are you from?
Your primary school.
Anyways,
what you,
ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul. You know, as you can tell, these two boys are here, they're Nigerian, you know. So I want to make it clear, I'm not Nigerian, so it's there. I'm Congolese, you know. Anyways, where do I go to school? I don't remember my elementary school, though. All I know is I spent there a month, and then I moved to my primary school. It's called Collège Al-Fajiri. You can search that up. It's a dope school. So it's a beautiful school,
is
man.
Is that you on Google?
If you search up Collège Al-Fajiri, you'll find it, yeah?
All right.
Collège Al-Fajiri.
I will, though.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, I was there till like what grade 5. That's when we came to Canada. I was in grade 5 when we came to Canada. I had to redo grade 5. I don't know why, but my age.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was to be honest, unlike you guys know like the leaders and all that. My school, I was just worried every day. I was getting an ass whooping. So my goal was to somehow survive a day without being able to sit down after. Because the punishments in that school, bro, the teacher, they're literally getting paid to give us a nice ass whooping.
Oh yeah,
they enjoy that.
That was one thing my school prided itself on, not fucking anybody. But from school, I went to like, it was actually pride itself, not fucking, like, parents would report. Like, I remember it since my grade 6 year, somebody reported that I got whooped. The person didn't get whooped. I got whooped. That was loud. My bad. I got whooped, and the person reported that I go, and they just got fired because of that. I just like,
they got fired because
you got fired. Yeah,
damn, lucky you, man. If that was my school, I'll be reporting all my teachers.
But that was the thing. The switch from my primary school was like, they don't whoop anybody. Then the switch from that was going to government school, whereby they whoop any any chance they have,
any living thing.
Damn. any living thing, they will whoop. They will floor. Like, it's like, young GS2 will beat you, SS1 will be, SS2 will be, SS3 will be, everybody teachers will beat you, everybody wants to beat you,
everybody wants to beat
you. If you're in GS1, everybody wants to beat you.
Did you guys used to do, like, in your school, had to do like recital or that the teacher would give you a poem the previous day? You gotta go memorize that shit and you gotta stay in front of the class. If you can't finish it, you get your ass whooping. The teacher used to do that that was his warm up of the day. Every morning. Just
go off vlog.
Every morning. Me, it's like after school, I was never looking into my stuff. I mean, so the same today, but it started back then, you know what I'm saying? So I will go home, I'll come back, and then my friends in school, they will, we had this thing, we'll make you laugh. If we can make you laugh, man. We had price at the end of the school, but you're gonna get your ass whooping. But like, if your friends make you laugh while you're doing the recital,
oh,
you get a price. You know what I'm saying? We used to like buy food after school. You just get some cookies, whatever. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, every time the person gets you make you laugh, you get an ass whooping, man. Your friend will enjoy watching you get an ass whooping. I don't know how we find joy into that, but like that school was it was brutal.
The thing about Africa is that you find joys in the things that you don't expect to find joy from when you leave Africa. Because like
once you leave, you notice how sadistic it was. Like it's literally like sociopathism just going on there.
It is a mess going on there. But you just realize that. But when you go back and think of it, it's like I was having fun when I was happening. Like sometimes, like I remember one time, like when my students was flogging me, and I was just like, I just took it. I just got up.
And people be clapping for you. People be cheering you on.
Yeah,
like if you don't cry, the class will clap and the teacher will call you back. Come here.
Beat you again.
It's not about it. It's like, that was those ones. But in my school, was like when seniors are flogging you, they expect you not to cry because most times they like to flog you at night. So they don't like teachers that actually live close to the dormitory just in case of emergencies like that. So they actually flog you at night. So teachers kind of like watch what's happening and just like, why? And if you can take it, it's just like they'll just call you for it. Just come take it. Let's get this thing moving. And then people that are like that cannot stay one place when they're flogging them, they'll be crying every single second. Those ones, I couldn't stand those.
The worst part of it was living in a boarding house, where like in GS1, you get beat by everybody. The only thing I can save you in GS1 through to GS2 is having a school father. That's higher than GS3.
No.
Because GS1 to GS3 were in the same hostel, and then SS1 to SS3 will be in the same hostel. So you're in GS1, you're suffering. GS2, you suffer. GS3, you enjoy. You get to beat people. After enjoying that, you move from GS3 to SS1, where your life turns upside down. The SS hostel is literally a jungle. Like, GS is terrible, but SS is a jungle. It's literally survival of the fittest. Like, a senior is coming, you better be running because something is about to happen. If a senior is holding a belt, don't even stand in his way. In fact, don't even be close. If the belt can reach you, you are finished because he will just beat you for no reason. Like, it's not like sometimes, like, I had the time when I was walking with a friend of mine this evening, and the senior was walking towards our hostel, obviously, to go and you know, find a way to get all the juniors to fill up his bowl with food. Have you had that before?
Classic.
When they walk in there, I forget, what did he used to say? No, I think our senior would say last man.
Yeah, you walk in
and say last man.
Last man.
The last person to jump off his bed and get to him would do whatever he says.
Yeah.
Damn, like, y'all went through it, man. I dodged the bullet.
So in some ways, it was good. I mean, it made me very, very good to react to the guy when I'm running on these days.
Because when you see a senior walk into your room, your head is up. You can be. We had somebody sleeping. Deep sleep. I swear he was asleep for at least an hour and a half. A senior walked in the room and said last man, and this guy was down. He got there quick. And then somebody else was faking sleep. Senior got there and beat him first. After beating him with the belt, now sent him to go and fetch water for him.
Nah, my friend, that's just abuse, bro.
Yo, somebody's beating like the Nigerian problems into you. Like,
oh my god,
it's so common.
So that day, like, I was explaining my story. As I was walking, there are two things to do. Either keep your eyes open and your head up before you sleep. Before you hear lights out, your head has to be up. You can't be asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Or be ready at the door and be watching. When the senior is coming in, you better be leaving faster than he can get there. So when you see a senior approaching with violence in his heart and a belt in his hand, you best be exiting quickly. So, I mean, this guy was walking, but I was on his left, and the senior was coming from our right. and this guy was on the side there, and the senior just for fun just threw the belt towards us, you know, just swung it, went around his eyes, slapped him in the face and his eyes. The guy went down. Hey, there's nothing you can do. He went down after staying down for a couple minutes. I was hurting and everything. We stood up and we continued to go. We know we have escaped somebody else that was going to die. So but we did run away fast enough. He didn't run away fast enough. Me, I was safe. I didn't receive the belt, but I felt pain for him.
growing up in boarding school was one thing, that one experience that I always want to forget, because it was like traumatic for some people. Like, I know people who, like, it's a Nigerian culture itself, like a manager is like sending his whoever lower level, and just like that same system is so paramount in Nigerian culture. Just like, you can basically see boarding school life in, like, Nigerian culture, because many people went through boarding school and just like, I don't want to see that. It's like, it's painful to see, like, people are like, just being beaten up because at a lower level, like, you get punished for your age. Like, that respect your elders got taken to heart
way too much.
If you don't do it, you probably get slaughtered for it.
So for you guys, boarding school, was it like part of a culture? Is it something like, it's not part of culture? Is it something that, like, you naturally, like, what's the saying? It's like passage or something.
Is it rite of passage?
Yes. Yeah.
For some people, I know some people who didn't go to boarding school.
Yeah, some people didn't.
And it was like, you didn't go to boarding school.
You're softy.
You never got to experience. You didn't experience it. Uh-huh. You didn't go through life.
I said that to my brother, my younger brother, because me and my immediate younger brother went to boarding school, but my youngest brother never got to experience it. I think.
I'm just glad. I'm hearing all this story. I don't know how it was back in my country, but.
Let's go. Go.
Another thing I wanted to add to that boarding house thing is that thing ends up transcending and going down. Like, even our parents now, you know, it's not like an exact boarding house scenario in houses, but that's honestly, I feel like, where also abuse comes from, like in African households. And like, even like sometimes parents are like, they demand respect, you know, some families where parents demand respect, you respect them. Like, you know, unconditionally, without asking questions, they treat their houses like a military regime. Like, they're running an autocratic system.
Yes.
Where they are the Führers, and we bow down to them. Like, and it's rough in houses like that, you know. My parents were a little bit like that too, but when they moved here, they got more like flexible, and they got to understand like that we can actually say why. Like, in a Nigerian house, you can't ask why.
You can't ask why.
You cannot say parents' house. Yeah. There's no black parents that I've heard that have given an explanation for saying no.
Why?
You can't ask
no
why.
Such thing.
Like, literally, a why question is like a. I'm pretty sure the first time my or my brother said why to my dad, he must have been so confused. Must have been,
no. Like, my dad was confused. Yeah.
Must have been like,
confusion happens.
Why?
But if you think about it, it's like, it's one of those things that you do what you see. You know, it's like our parents grew around that. I grew around that. I think to me right now, y'all know I got siblings very young. So I'm like, I'm playing a older brother, but like, it's like, I'm also like getting the gauge, like how it is to actually be a parent.
Practice.
Which is tough, because there's a lot of things that I have to teach myself not to do. Mm-hmm. That's naturally, it's like how I want to do. I like, bro, piss me off, I want to slap you, but that's not what I want to do.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's not just because we're in Canada. It was something that like, I didn't like. I was a rebel when I was a little kid. Like, the only person that can whoop me was my mom, because I'm not going to fight her. Anybody else, you touch me, I'm fighting you. I don't care who you are. And, bruv, I used to get my ass whooped worse than how I would.
But like, the fuck, he was still fighting all the time.
Bro. I will fight you. You try to whoop me, I will fight you.
Yeah, my respect.
That is some next level resilience.
That's it. Because, like,
no,
they will finish you.
I will still fight.
You will not sleep. They will beat you to the next morning. They will beat you throughout the night. They will beat you on shifts.
When I get tired, you know what I do? I start running until they get tired of chasing me around the house. I'll be jumping on chairs. I was fighting. I remember one time, the guy that was babysitting us, this man, I don't know what I did, pissed him off. He slapped me. I got mad. I was like, I slapped him back. He took my head, slammed on the wall. I'm pretty sure I got a concussion that day. But after that hit, it kind of got me to start thinking, man, if I don't really, you know, act straight, I might get killed out here. Bro, that hit, you know when you get, have you ever got a punch in the eye? You know when your eyes go white?
Everything just goes black.
Bro, when he hit me in the wall, bro, I saw that, both of my eyes, man. I'm pretty sure my life pretty much flashed that in front of me. I was like, damn. He hit me. It was a fight. It was like, we went from 0 to 100, back to 0 very fast. I was like, this yeah.
How the fuck do you slap someone back when they slap you? Hi, the fear of God is not in you.
That's the kind of thing you go and talk to your therapist.
Now, it was me. It's no, growing up was like something that, like, it's not like I was always challenging authority. It was just something that, like, you're not that special. You know what I'm saying? Like, some people will, I just know, just looking around, even in school, like, a teacher would just whoop you for some stupid stuff. And when you get at home, we had this thing, like I said, I like to do my own thing. I like to move. Back home, I never wanted to stay home. If you're not at home, you're going to grow up a bad kid. All my friends were older than me. So to my parents, bad influences. I like hang out with older people because it's fun. They do more interesting stuff, in my opinion. But my parents never really liked that kind of influence. So when I get home, it's like I was on lockdown. You get home, you got to take a nap. Like, who wants to take a nap? You know what I'm saying? It's not something you're watching the TV and you pass out. There's no electricity, bro.
Electricity, right? That's class. Missing, like...
You got to turn on jet.
You know, the worst part is, like, sometimes... I think they did this in PH, but they only bring that at night. There's no electricity in the
daytime. If you want to watch TV, you got to wake up at night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Electricity comes by, like, from 12 p.m. to 12 a.m. to about 7 a.m. That is it.
Oh, I always appreciate it. Those ones let you sleep. You imagine having the fan.
Yeah. From 12 sleeping to 7, with fan.
And then you wake up in the morning, you wake up... If you wake up early, you can boil water. If you wake up early, you can boil water, hot water with the electric kettle and shower. If not, you can boil on the stove and shower. But either way, you sleep well, you wake up, no light throughout the day, so you go out, stay outside or whatever. But my parents never actually let me. We never really used to go out in my own house.
Yeah. Be staying home all day.
I was home all day. Because I didn't know.
Because my friends didn't live around me, and my family was not comfortable with us like mingling with the people around us.
Yeah, my friends were in school or church, which means that they didn't live close to me, and which means that I didn't know any of my neighbor's kids.
Damn.
Yeah.
Me, the first thing I used to do, I got to make friends. Every time we move like 5 times in the same city, we just keep moving. I got to make friends. And it's always like, I always hang out with people older than me just because they know more than me. So I just feel like I was always constantly learning new things. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes it was never the good things. Like, I learned stuff that I should not know at that age, but it is what it is.
But you know what? It, Abby. You know it.
People, you know what it is. But the thing with me is, I was never at home. I'm an introverted, but in my childhood, I was never. I feel like I became an introvert in Canada.
Oh, that's interesting.
Which is weird.
No, it's not weird. It's more like that.
Your personality fully changed because, bro, I was always out of my house. I was never home. I came to Canada. I didn't speak English. Like, it was like, bro, everything was just different. It's like, I'm going to stay home, you know? So I just feel like I just built a very strong comfort zone that I'm just I stuck to it. And the thing, me back home, never home, we used to like spend our summer swimming. You know, kids used to drown. My mom used to be like, don't go swimming. Literally, she know I was going like every day. You know what I'm saying? And then when we go there, you know how you guys are talking like old people will whoop your ass for no reason? Mm-hmm. When they get there, they're like, kids are drowning out here, they'll whoop your ass.
Yeah.
And then they start swimming. Me, when I see stuff like that, I'm like, what the hell? I'll fight you guys. But after I almost had a concussion, I noticed violence is not always the solution. They'll never listen to you. They're older than me, stronger than me.
Never.
All those fights, I never won even once. But I kept on doing. That's how stupid I was. So
it's not stupid, bro. Like I said, it's resilience, man. You're ready to fight.
I would take the pain.
You're ready to take on the world.
I didn't like pain, so I would just deal with it once and let it go. And then, you know, I'll live my life. Like the most painful, like when it's come to like beating my parents, the most painful was one day when I lost 1,000 naira.
Hey.
You've kind of set yourself up. Like the devil set me up that day. Like everything that could go wrong went wrong. Damn. Literally, I got the money. They sent me two different places. So I had to go down the street to the right to go get something and I came back. And then I got the 1,000 to go to the left to go buy like bread and stuff for the next day. So I was going there and met my friend, my best friend. We're chilling, we're running down the street and everything, chatting. I got there. I bought the bread. Checked my pocket, no money. I was like, hey. So I came out, I looked around, I didn't see it. I walked down the street. I was like, let me go back home. Maybe I left it at home. I went back home. My dad was so calm. He just looked at me and told me, I gave you the money. The money's not at home here. Go back and find it.
Hey.
when they say go back and find it.
That's worse.
You should, when they say go back and find
it, you can't come home without it.
You should be crying. But me, I was still chilling. I went downstairs. My friend was still downstairs. When I went, I was like, oh yeah, walk with me. Let's search for it. Walk with me. It started to get dark. Panic started to set in.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, it got dark enough that after I started, that's when I started to cry. When hey. It got dark enough. But my parents, they didn't like the people around that lived around. Like, we didn't go out to associate with the people around us a lot because, like, people were, like, too rugged and stuff. My parents didn't really like that much. So my parents would never let you cry in public. But my dad saw me crying, called me and told me, stop crying. Let's go home. So me, I cleaned my eyes.
Show no weakness.
Like, oh, thank you, Jesus. We got home. Go and bring my cane.
Oof. The puzzle that when you knew what a cane is. Like, you know exactly what it is.
Did you guys used to break cane when you were younger? You
like break it? No, hey. I don't break it.
I mean, my brothers will break it, so they'll send us to go and buy a new one.
Of course, that you're wasting. You're getting a fresh one. Like, stupid. That's a bad idea. Why not just keep the one that's wretched? So I think a wretched. It won't have that
if
much
you
power.
Get wretched enough, they'll buy a new one, so it doesn't change anything.
But that's why y'all used to use.
We break the cane. Sometimes we
there's actually sometimes actual stores that actually yes. had cane in the front. Yes. It was normal.
It was
for
sold. It was sold in the yeah. front of stores. Like
it was normal.
You buy water inside. They'll go to the fridge and bring a bag of water for you. You pick up a cane for 29.
You know how you're like, walking in the superstore and you see banana. In
flowers,
Nigeria,
or you see flowers,
you see flowers, all those wow. things outside. Mm. It's cane. In Nigeria, it's cane. Nigeria superstars is cane.
Yeah, one.
Nigeria superstars.
Cane.
For we didn't have
real Nigeria superstar cane.
For us back home, what we had this tree. I don't know the name in English, but I'm gonna just say how we used to call it. It's called Mutia Vicalitusi, bro.
That is not safe. That is not safe.
That tree. What I'm telling you, it's branches.
Mm-hmm.
They're flexible but not flexible. You have a look at your small finger, you have a branch that thin. You're gonna get your ass whooping for 30 minutes straight and it will not break. Once you look at your skin, man, you look at me, I'm dark skin. Look at my skin, seeing how red my skin is.
Well,
see how thick like all those,
yeah, the welts.
That tree, if I had the power, I'll burn all the trees in the country, but I couldn't because every like that tree is so like it's almost everywhere back home. Everywhere. I think just God was like, yeah, this kid is gonna enjoy this growing up, so I'm gonna just plant this right here. I wish I can find that tree. If I could describe it, man. We had one in my house, bro.
Muka Mukulogati.
Muti means tree.
Oh.
But the actual name is I have to say Muti to actually pronounce that name. Yeah. Mutia Calyptusi.
Malik.
Right, it's a mouthful. But that treatment, it is something else, man.
I was so glad when that day was over. You know, one of those things that you look back and you're like, oh man, I suffered.
God is good.
But man, you're so glad to have made it through the night.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I'm always grateful for the most part, like my dad, like he was somebody that used to travel a lot. So he was like, he wasn't home a lot. Also, I don't even think, even if he was home, my dad never, like, beat me. I don't recall my dad beating me. My mom, probably, like, once. Every time my mom needed to, like, you know, discipline me, he would call my uncle.
Mm.
My mom, sometimes she will cry when I'm getting my ass whooped. My uncle had no mercy, bro.
Yeah. I guess one day you have to unpack the fact that people can be burnt in the streets for being stealing money or stealing small amounts of money, and politicians are being celebrated. Wow.
They have Swiss accounts.
No, because
yep.
Because if you think Bank about it, to them, it's like it starts at a young age. So if you keep that and you don't get disciplined through that, when you grow up, you're going to think it's okay. So when you start thinking, you start breaking other people's house, everybody's like worried. We're like, damn. We got to do something about
this. That's a twisted way of thinking.
I'm saying this is like, if you're still at a very young age, you know, if you're still at a very young age, they got to stop that before if you keep growing doing that. You know what I'm saying? If you keep growing stealing, you might start stealing when you're older.
No, I think you probably get bored of some things you don't do as a kid.
Yes.
Which is like, if you're good at it, and if you steal the right, like if you get better at stealing,
but how are you gonna get good at it? By doing it more.
No, what I mean is that what I mean by good at it is like if you come like a master, you come like a, because most of when you're stealing as a kid, you don't really know much about stealing. You become like a heist planner type shit. Like
that's where
if you're, I guess I'm Robin is heist planner.
So what I'm just saying is, there's level for you to get there. You don't just wake up one day, you're like that.
Yeah. No, it's actually possible to wake up one day and like that.
Wake up one day, become the professor?
Yeah. No, okay, maybe not the professor, but it's possible to wake up one day and just be tired of everything. Just be like, okay.
That's true.
Like, I'm not making enough money or I lost my job or, no, I'm not comfortable with where this is and I want to go and acquire with greed. But it's not everyone that steals when they're younger. Like, I'm sure most of us, at least, we've stolen at least one thing in our lives. I remember my own. So when I got my offering, one day went to visit a fellow church, one of my dad's like friends or my mom's friend's church, mm-hmm. and like they were doing in between the message or during the singing, I think I was like, oh, my aunt gave me my offering, mm-hmm. 5 naira. Mm-hmm. I took it with me. I went to a store to go and buy chewing gum. Mm-hmm. I gave the mala my 10 naira. Sorry, not 5 naira. I gave him 10 naira and I bought chewing gum of 5 naira, and he didn't have change. So he went to go and look for change. He gave me chewing gum. I collected extra chewing gum. So by the time I go back, my auntie beats me, obviously, because I used my offering for our church to buy chewing gum. I was crying. I was eating the chewing gum.
Is it one of those pink ones?
Yes, it was so worth it. I was crying. I was literally in tears of pain as I was. It was the funniest thing. Mm-hmm. And that thing with designated flogger.
Damn.
My own was my auntie. Like, When your family is worse when your family members have like a designated, when they have someone that just designated for discipline.
Hey.
just like that, your uncle. Remember that, my auntie. Like, we love that, but we hated that.
Those people enjoy that. They enjoy that role. Oh my God.
Designated flogger. Oh,
bro, every time you try to disrespect them, my uncle will be like, wait till your mom gets home. I'm like, I don't care. But once my mom gets home, bro. Every time my mom had this habit, when she gets home, she'll bring her snacks. Probably the first to go share with my uncle, bro. Because, yeah, whatever happened, we're square now. We good? We good. But that's how sometimes that man will eat my beignet. Because that's one of the main things my mom used to beignet, waffles, and then chapati. That's one of the main things she used to bring. Or sometimes bananas. This man will eat it and then snitch on me after. So it's every time I used to do it, I was like, there's a 50-50 chance it will work. Hopefully he's in a good mood today. So, but now, most of the time he will snitch because he just want to whoop my ass that day, bro.
Wow. My auntie used to be that. Like, she would beat us without regard. She would just beat the hell out of us. We were so scared of her. We thought that she was our mom for the longest time.
I think we have, I've gone through a lot of abuse unpacking for us to today. A lot of abuse and
we went through it.
We went through the stories of us getting flogged as kids. Yeah. I guess this podcast is about seeing our growth from us being flogged to us being the floggers. Definitely. So yeah, because that's true. I feel like at one point in life, we could go to that point whereby we could be the floggers.
So unlucky.
We could be the disciplinarians.
I was so unlucky.
Disciplinarians, not
floggers. I was so unlucky. You know, my boarding house, I was so excited. SS1, I'd gone through all the pain, all the beating and everything. SS2 was the height of it. When it reached for me to enter SS3, my dad transferred me out of my boarding house.
Ah.
You don't understand the pain.
This man was saving all those pain for the past 2 years.
I had piled it up. I'd gotten my belt.
Hey.
I was ready to be the most notorious, because I was the most notorious junior. I was about to become the most notorious senior because I was going to beat for no reason a lot.
You look at me the wrong way.
You didn't even need to look at me.
Hey.
You didn't look at me, you would have been beaten. Damn. You looked at me, you would have been beaten. My life would have become great. When my father transferred me, I was super upset. I've never been more upset about anything that I never got to beat people under me.
Damn. My guy has a grudge.
He holds a grudge.
It's too late now. I've learned to you know, let it. I'm the water.
I have a question since we're talking about all this stuff. So, do you guys think there was any positive outcome out of us getting ass whooping growing up?
No,
I personally
absolutely not.
No, Beston, I think there are, but.
Is there more negative than to the positive?
I feel like there may be more negative to the part than the positive, because people like that ended up getting beat, especially in Nigeria or in Africa, they tend to end up transferring that kind of anger to their own children. And it's no longer discipline at that point. It's not discipline out of love. It's just
generational anger.
They feel like it becomes classical conditioner. It becomes like, you know, mistakes becomes associated with pain. Mm-hmm. And should not always be that way. And I feel like mistakes should be associated with correction. But it becomes associated with pain. And so children fear to make mistakes. And when they fear to make mistakes, they'll end up growing and making those mistakes, usually. And they will transfer that same learning, that same thing they've learned to their own children now. When they grow up and become parents, mistakes associated with pain. Mm. And that's just how it was. And that was something like parents have had, like when they moved to Canada and to countries out here, they've had to learn that you can't associate mistake with pain anymore like that, because your children can decide to call the cops on you. I mean, they probably won't, but your children can decide to call the cops on you.
They probably would.
I think it's more like when they go, if they go to school and like the teachers see the pain. I feel like
once you become conscious of the fact that if your parents whoops you, you cannot cry, you can just press 911 on the button. You kind of have a power that you don't know they have. they don't know you have, rather. And it's like that. Yeah. So, remember, the quote of the day was...
What was that quote? Hey, let me try to remember. Damn, I don't have my phone with me, but I got y'all, guys. All right, the quote of the day was, you become stronger. No, even on your weakest day, yeah, on your worst days, you become stronger just by showing up.
Song two.
All right, boys. From that, I want you guys to show up next week, because next week you get stronger by showing up. Thank you for listening. Have a great day.
Amen.